Blog Talk Radio.
I watch your face while you are asleep.
Yeah.
A resting grace.
This is for you, Haiti.
I want to keep.
This is for everybody around the world. That's going through a lot. Yeah. And there's only one God. The Lord's our light, all the pain at night, He shines through darkness. I pray for my people that's lost, that's why He was on the cross for our sins. His world's no more, so why not help the poor? Natural disaster, earthquake, Haiti, that's where my parents' birthplace is crazy. I'm still fighting with myself, holding on to truth. It's not good for your health, time is running out, so keep strong. Even the road is long, so just keep faith. Love people that hate, don't look back. Family, friends, love them to the end. Here, grab my hand, and let's be a rock like the band. And jump up and be God's biggest fan. Let's go and follow Him to the road that's no longer cold. God help us all, let's get up while we fall. Please answer when He calls. You gotta be honest, just listen to my voice. In this world, you gotta make the right choice. It's not about rich or fame. During hard times, you just switch up your game. My heart matches my body, my soul, my spirit. My people, can you feel it? Our God is the realest. Reaching for the stars, walk with me. Cause we gonna make it far. I've been places, I've seen faces. Very unhappy, now the devil trying to trap me. But my faith is power, so I'm scared that coward. So I keep flowing like the shower, minute by minute, hour by hour. I become my dream, every day I become my king. Keep a lookout, cause it's coming like a thief in the night. Get ready, no more fight.
Good morning. I'm your host, Joseph the Dreamer. And
Today I will be playing audio of Creflo, Renewing Your Mind. So I won't waste too much time. I will go ahead and play one more track, and then I will go ahead and play Creflo, Renewing Your Mind. Really, it's the war in your mind, matter of fact. Sorry about that. The war of your mindset. The war on your mind. But I'm going to go ahead and, matter of fact, everybody's there. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and play the audio right now.
The following program is being paid for by Creflo Dollar Ministries.
I'm a world changer.
Let's join Dr. Creflo Dollar for today's message.
If you have your Bibles, go with me to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We are talking about the life of faith, and we're in the middle of the series because we are having to deal with something called the arena of faith. And this is something that is so very important for us to get a hold of. So I want to begin this morning by milking this scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. So that we can get a clear understanding of what we're facing and what we're going to have to do in order to have victory over it. This is something that every person, saved or unsaved, will have to contend with and have to deal with. And if you understand what you're doing, understand what the Word says, you can have victory in this area. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5. And let's read those scriptures out loud together, those verses out loud together. Ready, read. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, I want you to understand here, of course, in verse 3, he says, for though we walk in the flesh, for though we are in this physical body, we do not war after the flesh. We don't war after the flesh. He says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are not fleshy. They are not physical. They are not bodily in nature. Now, notice some of these words here, weapons. Notice weapons. You have weapons when you're in hostilities. And then in verse 3, it gives us a clue as well. But we walk in the flesh, we do not war. Verse 3 talks about war. We're not participating in a war with our physical body. The verse 4 now speaks about weapons. So far we have weapons, we have war. So you have no choice but to perceive that we're involved in a conflict here. You have no choice. You look at those words, war, warfare, weapons. We're in conflict here. There is some type of contest going on. There's a warfare going on. Now let's read verse 4 one more time. Ready, read. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. In other words, our bodies or our flesh are not the weapons we use in this particular warfare that we're in. So we're not going to be using our physical bodies in this warfare. And yet it is talking about a warfare here. And then in verses 4 and 5, he talks about casting down imaginations. Casting down imaginations. Imaginations are reasonings of the human mind, mental processes or activities, images that are in your mind. Casting down imaginations. Now, we know casting means to throw where you are to a part away from you, like a man who's fishing casts out his line into the water. We also know it gives us the direction to cast down. We know that we're to throw it down. It's saying throwing down reasoning. So there's reasoning that's going to come in your mind. There are thoughts that are going to come in your mind that don't line up with the word. Reasonings that don't line up with the word. And he says we've got to learn how to cast those things down. Now, these verses show us a very definite situation, and that is we as Christians are engaged in a titanic struggle with the forces of evil, with Satan and all of his cohorts. They are seeking to destroy us, ladies and gentlemen. They are seeking to make our witness ineffectual. They are seeking to render us powerless and helpless concerning the things of God. There is a battle that is going on. These passages show us that this warfare is concerned and has to do with mental activity. That this contest and this warfare has to do with mental activity. In other words, the area Satan will attack us is in our minds. He will move from the mind to the body. But he's first got to attack us mentally. He wants to get involved in this physical world. He wants you to end up doing things, but he cannot do that without attacking your mind, because your mind controls your body. So we're talking about the mind, the arena of faith. It all begins in this mental aspect of your being, the mind. And then it dissolves down to the flesh, into the environment, into circumstances, but it all starts in the mind. So if Satan can gain control of your thought life, if he can gain control of your thinking, he will then control your faith. And then when he controls your faith, he controls your life. And we all know that you nourish things in your mind. That's the place where you nourish things. Now, verse 3, though we walk in the flesh, of course we walk in the flesh, but it means that I cannot use my body to fight with. I cannot use my body as a weapon. This is involving mental activity. It's involving thoughts. My mind is the area, or it is the arena, where the battle of faith is going to take place, because Satan is going to challenge me in my mind. It is my mind that governs my physical body. And listen, if you cut the mind off, then there's no thinking process. And guess what? The body will be immobile. The body just does what it's told to do. And there are a lot of things that we're doing with our body. It's kind of like Satan is sitting in the cockpit of our mind, just like a pilot sits in the cockpit of an airplane, and he controls the body of that entire airplane. Well, Satan knows that if he can gain access to your mind and sit in your mind, he can control your body. And then eventually he will control your life in this physical world. Now, you got to understand something. If Satan can get me to think adultery, then he can persuade me to act out on adultery. The physical body is the servant of your mind. And within a man who is a Christian, we all know as Christian people, the motivation of our life should come from our spirit, should come from a spirit that's well nourished in the Word of God. But too many Christians are controlled solely by their minds, and as a result, their bodies end up doing the things they don't want done. Now, how am I going to know if this thing is exalted when the Scripture, let's go back to 2 Corinthians for a moment. Before I take off, I want to look at this in verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Well, how will I know if something's exalting itself against the knowledge of God if I don't know the Word of God? If I don't read my Bible, how am I going to know if Satan's exalting something above the knowledge of God? And then here's this last point I want to bring up here in verse 5. He talks about casting down imaginations in every high thing. Now, that's interesting. You see, there are many things that appear to be very lofty and very idealistic, and they seem very high, and yet they're not inspired by God. They're traps. And if you're not careful, you will get sucked into that and think that you're doing something because it may have a high estimation in the eyes of the world, but it may be an abomination in the sight of God, a high thing. The world thinks of it as being high, but in actuality, it's not high at all. Now, I need you to listen to this. Your mindset is going to determine your life set. And where you end up in life is going to be based on your mindset. And last week I asked the question, who is setting your mind, or what is setting your mind? What are you exposed to? What are you listening to? What are you hearing? Who is sitting in the cockpit of your mind, taking you into places that you don't even know how you got there, but your mind has been exposed to the enemy? And whether you are saved or unsaved, Satan is after your mind. He's coming after you by coming after your mind, by getting you to hear some things that don't line up with the Word of God, and to convince you that it's all right, and then to keep you blind to the Word of God, keep you where you don't read the Bible, where you don't come to church, where you don't listen to CDs, keep you blind so that the light won't come in. But when you're not exposed to the light of God's Word, then you're subject to any suggestion that'll come from the devil. And I'm going to tell you something about the enemy. He's not going to say something to you that's just an outright lie. He's going to tell you something that has a bit of truth to it. And you cannot allow yourself to be self-deceived because you don't see it. There's a lot of things you don't see. That's why you have to practice judging yourself every day so you can get used to looking at yourself. And you can get used to being honest with yourself so you won't have to have somebody to come and judge you because you already know. I already know. I already know I'm selfish. I know. I already know. You should already know. Nobody should have to tell you're selfish. You should already know that. But the enemy wants to ride your life by traveling in your mind, just like a pilot. A pilot controls that airplane. Most accidents can be blamed on pilot error. Pilot controls that airplane. The airplane doesn't crash by itself. The pilot controls that airplane. And a pilot that's well trained knows how to get that plane to do whatever he wants to do. Well, so likewise, God wants to pilot your life. Satan wants to pilot your life. You are a free moral agent, which means you're going to have to choose who is going to be sitting in the cockpit of your mind. Now, let me mention one other thing, and I think I'll be clear to take off this morning. We do understand that there is the aspect of the flesh being your physical body, the flesh of human beings, and then there's the flesh of animals. We do understand that the spirit, there's a spiritual body, and we understand that there's a Holy Spirit. But then there's another aspect of this that I want you to look at, and we'll look at it in Romans chapter 8 in a moment, but before we do it, I want to explain it to you. The body doesn't make a decision to do what it wants to do. Now, if you create addictive behavior, then out of habit, it may create an urge. But it does what it's told to do by the mind. Are you following me? So ultimately, the root of the flesh, or the root of fleshy activity, of course, is your mind. The mindset determines whether you are spiritual or fleshy. Your mindset determines if you are carnal or if you're walking in the spirit. You see that pretty clear, right? If the mind controls your body, then to be fleshy means that your mind ultimately has the say-so of what happens on the outside and with your physical body. But now, what type of mindset determines whether or not you're walking in the flesh? And what type of mindset determines whether or not you're walking in the spirit? Very simply put, the flesh is a mindset that opposes the word of God. The flesh is a mindset that does not agree with God's word. Word of God says to abstain from fornication. There may be some mindset you picked up from relatives, uncles, locker room, that says there's nothing wrong with it. All right, now, to choose the go to words way, to set your mind according to the word, would be a man whose mindset is in line with the word, which means his life is going to be walking in the spirit. But a man whose mind has been set in opposition to the word, that means his life is going to be walking in the flesh. How can you determine whether you're walking in the spirit, whether you're walking in the flesh? It's all based in the word. You're either in line with the word or not in line with the word. If you're in line with the word, you are spiritual. Jesus said, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit and life. Words make you spirit. Now, there are people who try to be spiritual, but it's not in line with the word. Well, what do you call people who try to be care of themselves as spiritual people, but it doesn't line up with the word? You call them spooky. How many of you have met some spooky people before? They're doing things, but it doesn't even line up with the word. You can't find it in the word. You're not spiritual. You're spooky. It is the word that makes you spiritual. See, you can judge these things. You always hear people, don't judge me. Well, the Bible talks about a righteous judgment. The Bible talks about judging according to the word. I'm not judging you unrighteously. Now, the Bible has a problem with you judging people unrighteously. You're judging them not according to the word. You're judging them not according to evidence. You're judging them based on wrong criteria. But then there's a righteous judgment. There's a righteous judgment. You know, I can say to you, well, you're not born again. And you say, you can't judge me. And I'm like, wait a minute. I'm just telling you the fruit that I see on the tree. The Bible says, judge a tree by the fruit that it bears. And I can tell based on the fruit that you're bearing in your life, which doesn't line up with the word of God, that you're not spiritual. Don't tell me, don't judge you. You in sin, you're fornicating, you done have 5 kids out of wedlock, cuss, smoke reefer, act like a fool, and then you say, don't judge you. You already been judged. The word has already judged you. Whatever. Do you see the difference between walking in the spirit, walking in the flesh? It's all based on walking in the spirit. Your mindset is in line with the word. Walking in the flesh, your mindset is in opposition to the word. Those people that do the things of the spirit, they set their mind. Those are people who do the things of the flesh, they set their mind. It's all in the head, folks. That's going to determine your success or your failure. But let's go back to something real basic. If you don't read the Bible, if you don't study, if you don't come to church and hear the word God preach, if you're not a student of the word of God, you will be a prime candidate for deception. Because when you are ignorant of the word, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. It is what you don't know that will hurt you. And that's why when you come to this church, I try to make sure you're in an atmosphere of learning where you can learn and understand the word of God. It is not healthy to come to church and to be entertained the whole time. That's not healthy at all. If the only thing you got when you came to church is a good shout, and God is a good God, but you don't know how he's good. And God will make a way out of no way, but you don't know which way you got to go for him to make his way work. See, none of that stuff works at the end of the day once you get to the nitty-gritty. You get home, and things are lacking, and things are going bad, and you don't know what to do. So I see why folks quit coming to church. Why keep coming to church, and you ain't learning no more? You come and get a good little feel-good and go out and face the same problem. Feel good for a little while until you bump in front of Harry. Harry going to be doing the same thing you did before because you don't know how to handle Harry. But if you get in that word will show you how to handle Harry. That word will show you that what Harry does to you is none of your business, but how you treat Harry is your business, and you treat Harry with love, and you treat Harry with respect, and you drown Harry with the love of God, and Harry going to have to change because God is not going to let you do what you're supposed to do and not change Harry. But if you don't know what to do, Harry going to mess with you, you're going to get a divorce, you're going to go around quit. It just bothers me. You have this. How can a Christian come to the end of a battle and be the loser?
How can that happen? You got the Word of God, the name of Jesus, the Holy Ghost, all of heaven backing you up. You got revelation knowledge. You got gifts of the Spirit. You got all of that. How is it?
Oh, I feel like I'm being too honest this morning, I tell you. Go back on the pulpit and read my notes. The mindset. You've been listening to something. I can tell when people have been listening to another preacher. Because they start saying stuff. I'm like, where'd that come from? I'm like, no, that's not quite what the Bible says. Oh, no, Brother Dollar. The Bible says that we come into the presence with thanksgiving and praise. Hallelujah. I said, so how do you get into the presence? Oh, we come in with thanksgiving and praise. No, how do you get in the presence? Well, we come in with thanksgiving. No, you keep telling me what you're coming in with. I ask you, how do you get into his presence? With thanksgiving. No, I didn't ask you with. I asked you how. Now, Brother Dollar, the Bible says we get in by, so you're going to change it now, by thanksgiving and praise. No, it did not. See, you're walking in the flesh and don't even know it. The Bible says we enter into his presence through the blood with thanksgiving and praise. You see how if you're off the word just a little bit, you're in the flesh. If you're off the word a little bit, you're in the flesh. Adultery doesn't start in a physical act when you're in the bed with somebody. Adultery starts when you sit down at lunch and you start telling that woman intimate stuff about you and your wife, and then he starts telling you intimate stuff about he and his wife, and y'all have now just crossed the lines. There's certain information that's only for the spouse. I ain't got no business sitting around and telling some other woman my frustration with my wife. I need to be talking to my wife about my frustration with my wife, not another woman. Because women will take advantage of that opportunity and they think they heard something because their mind has already been set in the wrong thing. They already think it's all right to go to bed with a married man. So they're already in the flesh saying hallelujah. So you got to start recognizing the flesh when you see it. The flesh is not always somebody cussing and being all, you know, bodacious and loud. The flesh can be a hallelujah Christian. The flesh can be a tongue, a la caso, da 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 ba ba. Ooh, the Lord told me that you're supposed to be my husband. Now, that's a fleshly hallelujah Christian. How are you going to disrespect Jesus like that? Jesus? Yeah, that woman is a member of the body of Christ. You just came and tried to steal her husband. How are you going to do Jesus like that? See, that's why many people die early death, because they don't rightly discern the body of Christ. They don't see what they're doing to other people as they're doing it, like they're doing it to Jesus. But the Bible says, listen, if you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren and sister, you have done it unto me. So when you come and seduce somebody's wife or seduce somebody's husband, you are doing it to Jesus. And Jesus will show up to you like he did with Paul and say, why do you do me the way you do me, man? Jesus, I didn't do that to you. I did that such and so. No, but when you did it to her or him, you did it unto me. And the same thing with married people. Why do you dog out your wife or your husband? Jesus will say, why you did me like that? When you do your husband a certain bad way and your wife a certain bad way, you did it to Jesus. Right. Many are sick and weakly and die early deaths because they don't discern the body of Christ, or they don't see it like it is. Oh, wow. Boy, we've been teaching this for a while, hasn't it? This same subject right here, which lets us know that we got to keep teaching it because people don't get it. You turn on the TV, that's a high thing. And everybody on television says, this is the way, this is the way, this is the way. And you're a Christian, and you say, that's the way. Why you say that's the way? Because everybody else said it's the way. And that may be an abomination of God. You follow what I'm saying? And every high thing. Every high thing, everything the world thinks is important, everything the world says is okay, that's a high thing because it's high in the world's estimation, but it's not high in God's estimation. What are some high things that you've accepted, some high things that you've received and made it law in your life And you've honored the world's high thing more than you honored God's high thing. And now the world's opinion has a greater priority in your life than the Word of God. There's no way God can honor you like that. It's all right up here, ladies and gentlemen. What's happening in your mind? Who told you what? Where'd you see it? Where'd you hear it from? Just some guy because he's on television and he's a movie star doesn't make him the authority. Are you serious? What about the guy that died on the cross, who went to hell, who got up on the third day, who sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, who conquered death, hell, and the grave? I'm going to listen to him.
Yeah.
Why? Because he's been there. Now, in these last days, the enemy is going to attack your mind like never before. His job is to destroy the credibility of the preaching of the gospel. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 tells us that we must be transformed or changed by the renewing of our minds. Now, in the series, Thinking for Success, The Power of a Renewed Mind, I explain how to cast down images and reasonings that go against God's Word. So get this life-changing series by calling us or visiting our website. It will absolutely change your life forever. The Apostle Paul talked about forgetting those things that are behind so you can press forward to what is ahead. And in our monthly offer, A Fresh Start, I show you that God has already prepared your recompense. But you can only experience His goodness when you forgive and let go of the past. So call us and get this series for a love gift of any amount, and don't put it off. Order today.
Offer available while supplies last.
We know you wear many hats. Not sure which one fits the real you? Find out at the 2010 Happy Dollar Women's Conference, Authentic, with special guest Laura Pickett.
Okay, that was it for today. That was the subject of renewing your mind. And war your mind. You have to work on that daily, every single day. At least give it 15 minutes a day. Stay in the Word of God. Say that it's possible through Christ Jesus. You know, don't only count on yourself, on your flesh, but count on the Lord Jesus. Count on the Lord God. Don't listen to what other man has to say if it's not according to the Word of God. Okay. But stay in prayer, stay in daily activities, and renewing your mind every single day, because there's a constant war, especially we're in the last day in 2013, 2014, and beyond. Let's do this, people. Let's stay together. Let's work together. Let me do a prayer before I go. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for everything you've done for us, Lord. Thank you for the listeners that's listening, and let them be touched, Lord Father. Let them be new, and let them accept you, Lord Father. But those that accept you, Lord, have the Holy Spirit guide them, especially in the last days. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for everything you've done for us in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. I'm Joseph Dreamer. I'm out. Thank you, and God bless.